It's time for school. Rock School. With your hosts, Dr. Joe Burns.
I'm a little bit country. Chad's a little bit rock and roll.
I am. Thanks, Johnny, Donny Osmond.
Well, that makes you Marie.
And Chad P.
Are you mad at me?
I'm very sorry.
Do you have some kind of beef with me?
Class is in.
Hey, Rock School. Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Joe Burns, a professor right here in the Communication Department, Southeastern Louisiana University, right here where we're broadcasting from. Sitting to my immediate right, a former student, one who must learn. Who are you?
Chad Peck.
Chad, are you familiar with the concept of a story song?
Yes.
What is a story song?
A song that tells a story.
Well, see, who's buried in Grant's tomb, see? A story song is a format where the entire tune, it doesn't even really have a chorus, per se.
No.
It just kind of goes from the beginning to the end and tells a story the whole way through.
Yeah, here's what happened. Here's what happened next.
That's right.
Here's what happened next.
And then it comes to an end. Thank you for listening. And a lot of people either love story songs or they absolutely hate them.
What's your opinion?
I think they're great. I think they're wonderful.
I like them too.
If the story's good.
Yeah, it got to be a good story.
Yeah, if the story's good. And the thing about it is it has to be a story that is so strong in the mind that you want to hear it again and again and again and again.
Mm-hmm.
People who, you know, when I watch like a television show, once I've watched it, I never need to see it again.
True.
People who purchase television shows on DVD, like my wife purchased the entire Seinfeld thing on DVD.
Mm.
She purchased the Oprah thing on DVD.
Yeah.
Once I watch a television show, it's done. I don't need to see it again. But people who can do that, a movie as well.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'll get a movie and I'll watch like a segment of it, but that's it. I'll never watch a movie again. Reading a book, once I've read it, that's it. I don't need to read it again. I can't understand how people can read a book 2 and 3 and 4 times. Once I've done it, it's over. And it's the same thing with story songs. For me to listen to a story song 2 and 3 times, it has to be a really good story. So what I did was I went online and I started looking at websites for, you know, what do you people think is the best story song out there? And I started looking at my own collection. What is a story song that I like,
mm-hmm.
that I listen to again and again and again? The one I'm going to start with, I know it's kind of country, but it just kept rising to the top. It was the cream of the crop again and again and again.
What do you mean, kind of country?
It's very country.
It's full-blown blast country.
It shot to number one on the country charts, but it sat at number two on the pop charts for 3 weeks in the U.S.
I did not know.
I wish I knew what was number one that kept it out. I mean, if it sat at number two for 3 weeks, that meant something sat at number one for 3 weeks in the U.S. charts. A Boy Named Sue by Johnny Cash. I could listen to the song every day. It was actually written by Shel Silverstein. It was not written by Johnny Cash. And if you're wondering, was there really a boy named Sue? Yeah, there was. The thing was inspired by attorney Sue K. Hicks. It was a guy of Madisonville, Tennessee. He was a friend of John Scopes, who agreed to be a prosecutor in the Scopes trial.
Mm-hmm.
Sue was named after his mother, who died giving birth to him. So you can imagine, why would you do that to a poor young baby?
Yeah.
Name a boy Sue. So we begin. It's story songs for an entire hour. We begin with my favorite. It's a little bit country. I'm a little bit country. Chad's a little bit rock and roll.
I am. Thanks, Donny Osmond.
Well, that makes you Marie.
Oh.
Johnny Cash, Boy Named Sue, Rock School.
Well, my daddy left home when I was 3, and he didn't leave much to Ma and me, just this old guitar and an empty bottle of booze. Now, I don't blame him because he run and hid, but the meanest thing that he ever did was before he left, he went and named me Sue. Well, he must have thought that it was quite a joke, and it got a lot of laughs from lots of folks. Seems I had to fight my whole life through. Some gal would giggle and I'd get red, and some guy'd laugh and I'd bust his head. I'll tell you, life ain't easy for a boy named Sue. Well, I grew up quick and I grew up mean. My fists got hard, my wits got keen. Roamed from town to town to hide my shame. I try and every time I win. And if I ever have a son, I think I'm gonna name him
Bill or George.
Bill or George, yeah. Damn thing, but Sue.
That's wonderful.
That's a karaoke favorite at the local pub down the street.
It's perfect. It's absolutely perfect. Recorded live, San Quentin Prison in California. Absolutely great. He did that. He went to prisons and he recorded live albums.
I didn't know that.
It really was. Absolutely great. Move along to our next story song,
My favorite
Jeremy.
Story song.
Oh, you love this one?
Have you seen the video?
Oh, yeah.
Whoa.
Really
good.
Disturbing. Really good. Jeremy by Pearl Jam. This was a third single off of the debut album. Jeremy's based, actually, on two different articles, two different true stories. One of them happened to Eddie Vedder, one of them didn't. Let me tell you about the one that didn't.
Okay.
The song takes the main inspiration from a newspaper article. A 15-year-old boy named Jeremy Wade Dell. It's spelled D-E-L-L-E. I think I'm pronouncing it right. It might be Delly, but I think it's Dell. On the morning of January 8th, 1991, he did exactly what Jeremy in the video does. Mm-hmm. Walks to the front of the class, puts the gun to his head, and ends his life. The second story was one that Eddie Vedder knew himself in high school. The kid was going to do exactly what this Jeremy Wade Dell did, went to the front of the school, or went to the front of the class, lost his nerve, and then just started shooting randomly.
Wow.
And then, do you ever remember when you were in high school, do you ever remember anybody bringing a gun to your school at all?
No, but I could tell you there were a lot of kids that probably had good reason to, because high school kids are just mean.
It's a different world. I'm a good 20 years older than you.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went to school, I just remember the literal worst thing that could happen to me was a bloody nose.
Yeah.
And I I got a 3.5-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And he's gonna go to high school.
Mm-hmm.
And it scares the
I share your fear.
Out of me.
I really do.
Yeah, because your son is a year younger than mine.
Yep.
Yeah, and this kind of a song makes me nervous.
This video just has the perfect storytelling along with the lyrics, and then there's the little captions that come up on the screen.
Right.
And they could not have picked a more perfect portion of the song to put that caption that says, "The unclean spirit entered." It's just at that climax of the song where you get so sucked into the song and the story in the video, you gotta know how it ends, and unfortunately it ends with...
It ends poorly. Know.
Yeah.
It ends poorly. Let's hear it. Jeremy on Rock School. Everybody happy?
Yeah.
We're doing story songs today on Rock School. Songs that sort of eschew the general format and tell a story.
Yep.
People either love them or hate them. I absolutely love them.
I do too.
Now, we started with a fun one. I knew Jeremy was going to be an absolute downer, so we decided to go right into another fun one so we can't bring things back up.
So we're going back country.
Charlie Daniels Band.
I saw Charlie Daniels in person.
How was he?
It was unbelievable.
I'll bet he was great.
The man's in his 70s.
And he can still pick, can't he?
I took my father. We went to Biloxi, Mississippi to the casino. And I was like, I'm doing this completely for my dad. I'm not a huge Charlie Daniels fan.
Yeah?
I'm not a huge country music fan. Doc, I gotta tell you, that dude blew the roof off of that casino.
I'll bet. I will bet. This is The Devil Went Down to Georgia. In fact, I mentioned this in the last show,
you
didn't
sure
I?
Did, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't even plan that. It just came up. Well, okay, yeah, I did.
Yeah, you
in
did.
In 1979, he released a song called Million Mile Reflections, and he did what's known in the business as crossing over. He was a country star, true blue. And when the people who liked rock heard this tune, they kind of went, hey, this guy's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you one fact about this song you'll find interesting,
tell
or
me.
Maybe you won't. It's in D minor.
D minor.
D minor. Any that ring a bell?
Well, I know what a D chord is.
But you know, you like the movie Spinal Tap?
Yeah.
D minor is the saddest key of all keys. How much is a golden fiddle worth?
Well, apparently worth a soul.
Yeah, because he laid it on the ground at Johnny's feet, because the devil is in Georgia. He deals the cards. Johnny, look out on Rock School.
The devil went down to Georgia. He was looking for a soul.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Like, are you mad at me?
I'm very sorry.
Do you have some kind of beef with me?
Every song I've played so far has a curse word
in it. I got to bleep all of this out.
I'm very sorry. I'm very sorry. I'm looking at the playlist here, and I know I've got at least two more that curse.
Folks, I never have to make notes during this show. I got a whole page of notes.
I'm sorry. I'm looking. I got two more that actually curse. Now, the very next one does not curse. So,
well, yeah, the next one's a break.
Well, no, but the one after that doesn't curse. Well, okay. Oh, yeah, I got two more that curse. We got to be back in 1 minute. Rock School. We're talking about story songs here on Rock School, and this one doesn't curse. This one I know for...
Apparently you can't tell a story without putting an expletive in.
No, apparently not. This is The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald by Gordon Lightfoot. It's the commemoration of the sinking of the bulk carrier SS Edmund Fitzgerald on Lake Superior all the way back November 10th, 1975. Most people know the general story. There's a couple facts inside of the story that Gordon Lightfoot tells that are incorrect, and I'll tell you what they are here in just a minute. He wrote the tune when he read a Newsweek article called The Cruelest Month. It appeared inside the issue on November 24th. Gordon Lightfoot put the song on the album Summertime Dream in 1976. It went all the way up to number two in 1976. Let me tell you a couple of the facts inside of his song that are incorrect. He states that the Edmund Fitzgerald was headed for Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
It was not. It was headed for Detroit.
Oh.
He calls the Edmund Fitzgerald a ship. It's not. It's designated a boat.
What's the difference?
I don't know. I'm assuming that means something in the world of shipping, but it does not. He states that they rang the bell 29 times at the, quote, Maritime Sailors Cathedral.
Okay.
That's not what it's called.
Well,
it's actually called the Mariners Church of Detroit.
Well, dude, he's screwing up all kind of facts.
What do I know? He also states that the boat sailed into, quote, the face of a hurricane west wind.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is you're not going to get a hurricane in the Great Lakes. Simply won't wind itself up. The winds were no stronger than a gale.
Mm-hmm.
They never got any higher than 59 miles an hour. So if you give him a little bit of artistic license, then you can pretty much allow the rest of it to be correct. So Gordon Lightfoot, a story song, The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald on Rock School.
The legend lives on from the Chippewa on down of the big lake they call Gitche-Gumee. The lake, it is said.
Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald as we talk story songs on Rock School today. You know, when I was in college, I mm-hmm. used to play with another guy. We both had guitars,
yeah.
And we would like sit in a corner and play like at Animal House, you know,
yeah.
If I had a cherry and it had a stone, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
That was one of the songs we would play.
Cool, man.
Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. Yeah, we didn't get a lot of dates off of that, so.
Welcome. Which probably sounded good, huh?
Yeah, I guess we did. I play all the leads, and when he forgot what the next verse was, musty old hall. Hall in Detroit. I tell you, musty old hall in Detroit. Then. Yeah. And so we didn't get many dates off of that song. It's not exactly an uplifter. So welcome to the bottom of the hour, ladies and gentlemen. Come see our website.
Please do.
It's a beautiful website. KSLU.org. Go then and click the little Rock School thing. Every show we've ever done there in podcast format, pictures of us. Another little show that Rosa Dunn does. What's the name of the show?
Point of View.
Point of View. There's a picture of us with Rosa Dunn right there on the homepage. Click on it. You'll get, 35 minutes long?
Yeah.
The entire history of Rock School and me trying to sound as intelligent as humanly possible and failing miserably.
No, you did good. You did good.
Send us an email.
Send us an email.
Do it.
KSLURockSchool@gmail.com. KSLURockSchool@gmail.com. And we want to take this opportunity to shout out to our new affiliate, WESU in Middletown, Connecticut.
I've never been to Connecticut.
Me neither.
That's one place I've never been.
I want to go.
All over the place up there, but I've never actually been to Connecticut, and now I have a reason to actually go.
I want to go to Stanford.
One of the greatest story song performers ever, Bob Dylan, Rolling Stone, calls Tangled Up in Blue his greatest story song ever. Mm-hmm. So that's the one we're going to play. It's from the Blood on the Tracks LP from back in 1975.
And that's the one I'm going to stump you
that's
on.
That's right. You got a stump for me on Tangled Up in Blue.
Very simple. It's called Tangled Up in Blue.
What?
What's blue?
Blue.
Blue.
Why is it called blue?
Yeah.
He wrote it apparently after listening to Joni Mitchell's album Blue.
Joni Mitchell's Blue.
Is that what you got too?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I took that right off of Wikipedia. That's one little fact that stuck in my brain. So Bob Dylan, Tangled Up in Blue, Rock School.
Early one morning the sun was shining, I was laying in bed, wondering if she'd changed it all, if her hair was still red. Her folks, they said our lives together sure was gonna be rough. They never did like mama's homemade dress.
Harmonica?
Oh yeah. Okay. He's a wonderful harmonica player. Everything he did was kind of choppy, you know what I mean? It wasn't real sort of classically musician smooth, and it was that choppy that made it so wonderful. Bob Dylan, Tangled Up in Joni Mitchell's Blue, as we do nothing but story songs on Rock School. I'm gonna play one for you. Man, I'm a little bit country today, I gotta tell you.
What is your deal?
I brought
country
along,
and cursing.
I don't know what it is. Country and cursing today.
By the way, you're sitting here looking at my notes, making fun, because I had to write down all of the times that there was a word, and I wrote down the actual word, so it looks like I'm just sitting here with
writing curse words.
Literal Tourette's. Just writing curse words.
Well, the next one doesn't curse. That one I know. This was a 1970 crossover hit for Jerry Reed. Now, I get it. Jerry Reed. Isn't he the goofy guy that's in The Water Boy who plays the coach and all of that?
Coach Reed.
Do yourself a favor. Get a hold of a Jerry Reed Greatest Hits LP. Go on and download two or three Jerry Reed songs. This guy is a fantastic guitarist. He's what's known as a flat picker, which just means he plays with a pick.
Mm-hmm.
And when he plays with his pick, he also uses his middle finger, this is on his right hand, his middle finger and his ring finger to then finger pick as he's playing with his flat pick.
Andy Griffith does that.
Brilliant.
If you ever watch Andy Griffith when he's playing the guitar, look at his hand. He's doing the exact
same thing. Yep. I've never been able to do that. When I'm playing with a pick, it can only be the pick playing. If I want to use my fingers to finger pick, I got to put the pick down. It's just something in my brain won't allow it. The little guy who releases synapses, stop doing that.
Like, nope.
He does nothing but story songs. Really good stuff. Lord Mr. Ford is a good one to get a hold of. Great stuff. Eastbound and Down. Yeah, I know it's from a Burt Reynolds movie, but it's still a really good tune. This one I picked specifically because it mentions Thibodaux, Louisiana.
Yeah.
See if you can pick it out. This is Amos Moses, a story song on Rock School.
Yeah, here comes Amos. Now Amos Moses was a Cajun. He lived by himself in the swamp. He hunted alligator for a living. He just knock him in the head with a stump. The Louisiana law gonna get you, Amos. Sit down on him, Amos. Make it count, son. About 45 minutes southeast to Thibodaux, Louisiana.
left arm gone clean up to
there
the elbow because the elbow.
Thibodeau, Louisiana.
Oh, he says it two or three times doing it. Left arm gone clean up to the elbow because the alligator bit it. Love that song, Amos Moses. And you told me there's a cover band around here called Amos Moses?
In Plaquemine, where I grew up, Amos Moses. And I looked at your playlist and I went, wait a minute.
How did Amos Moses get on here? We're going to play a tune outside of the break. It's called WOLD. It's from one of my favorite guys, Harry Chapin. I absolutely adore Harry Chapin. And it's about radio. And it's about a tortured radio soul. And I just have to ask the question, why is every song about radio about a tortured radio soul? Is there no such thing as a happy disc jockey?
Well,
every radio, even on television, on radio, on songs, every disc jockey is either disgruntled, crazy, divorced, a tortured soul.
Disgruntled.
Nobody finishes a radio show and goes, okay, I'm going home to my nice family and my nice... Nobody finishes that. We're all just alcoholics. And why is that?
Because disgruntled disc jockeys are more entertaining than the happy ones.
I guess. I mean, when I'm done with this show, I'm going home to a nice family, aren't you?
Yeah.
I guess.
We're part-time, though.
That's true. If we were full-time, it would all just go to heck, wouldn't it?
Yep.
I'm glad I said heck.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll be back in a minute. This is Rock School as we talk about story songs for the remainder of the hour. About 15 minutes left here, and we're going to talk about Harry Chapin's WOLD. And as I sort of tipped to, it's what I said right before the break. WOLD is from the 1974 album Short Stories. It is written for a guy named Jim Connors, who was on AM Radio's WMEX. He helped out Harry Chapin when he was just getting started in the music business. But it is what every song about a disc jockey is. None of us are happy.
Nope.
That's the thing. Every time you hear about a disc jockey, every time you see a disc jockey in the movies, in TV, in a song, every one of us is a tortured soul. None of us is happy. We're either alcoholics or we're drug addicts or we're what have you. I'm a happy guy. Aren't you a happy guy?
Again, we're part-time.
I guess that's it.
I did sales for a commercial radio station right out of college, and the one disc jockey that I was mostly paired up with to do remotes was the grouchiest guy I've ever met.
Yeah, but grouchy's one thing.
But he was also an alcoholic and a chain smoker.
I saw a lot of people that fit this, though. I saw a lot of happy guys. But I also saw a lot of 45, 50-year-old guys that were making $8 an hour, and they just knew their big break was right around the corner. This wasn't me. I was a happy disc jockey, but here's WOLD. This is a song about a disc jockey who gets divorced and spends his career going from market to market to market just to get back to his wife. And the problem is, she doesn't want him.
Wow.
Here's WOLD on Rock School.
Hello, honey, it's me. What did you think when you heard me back on the radio? What did the kids say when they knew it was their long?
Is that crushing? Sure, old girl, I understand. You don't have to worry. I'm such a happy man.
Dude, I'm depressed.
Oh, is that down crushing? Oh, WOLD, Harry Chapin, the life of the disc jockey.
Wow.
I'm really a happy guy, I'm telling you. But I still remember when, you know, hey, who wants to be a disc jockey now that you've heard that story?
Yeah.
But the thing about it is I remember when I was teaching radio and you were on the radio and I had hardly knew you at the time and you were going on the air. I was standing out there in the studios and you said something like, oh man, I don't feel good. And I looked at you and I said, nobody cares.
Yeah, that was a...
And your eyes got big and looked at me.
That was an eye-opener.
I said, nobody cares. Do not go on the air and tell your audience, nobody cares. Nobody cares that you feel bad. They want to turn on, like it says in the song, the bright good morning voice
that's right.
Heard but never seen.
I mean, that's how I was taught. They said, if you are scheduled to go on the air at 3 o'clock and at 2:59 you get a call that says your mother died in a car crash, at 3 o'clock when you open up that mic, you better be...
Happy.
That's right.
Happy.
Maybe that's a reason why disc jockeys are...
Could be.
Because you got to put on that happy voice.
Oh, I still remember I would go on the air at 5 o'clock in the morning, get off at 10, do 2 or 3 hours of show prep, go home, and my wife would sometimes say to me, do you have any comedy for me? Because I would go home and I would be, I don't want to be funny. And she would say, do you have any funny for me?
Wow.
And it would, you know, I'd have to come back up because you'd just blow it all out and such. So, but we're not all that way. Okay, let's play a fun one.
Please.
Dead Man's Curve, Jan and Dean from 1964.
This is a fun song?
Won't come back from Dead Man's Curve. Ironically, Jan Barry from Jan and Dean, actually wrecked his car on Dead Man's Curve. He didn't die, but he was messed up pretty good.
Dude, please bring this show back.
I'm sorry. Here's Dead Man's Curve on Rock School.
Something happy, man. I'm telling you.
Man. Welcome back from Dead Man's Curve. Actually, it is a good story in that Jan Barry, he was in a terrible car accident, but had a head injury also. But he brought himself back and actually performs today and performs Dead Man's Curve.
Really?
Yeah, today he's back and he's performing. Jan and Dean actually go out and still perform Dead Man's Curve.
But in all honesty, Doc, and answer me this before we got to wrap it up here. But
yes.
Honestly, if you had a story song that was all happy and go lucky, and this is a story about me and I go to work and I have a great day and
then
I go
home. And we have lemonade.
Do you think that it would be worth listening to?
No, not really.
What story song do you want to listen to? What would you rather listen to?
Right, and you want to. There's something about pain that everybody has. As my father used to say to me, we all have to take a bite of the big sandwich.
Yeah.
That was his line to me. He didn't say it when I was 3 years old. I was much older, but I would say things to him, you know, oh, Dad, something bad happened in my life. He said, hey, look, you know, tough luck, kid. We all have to take a bite of the big sandwich.
Yep.
And that's kind of the way I feel when something bad happens to me. I get, well, it's my turn to take a bite of the sandwich.
I guess.
You know, these things happen. And that in these songs, that's what kind of resonates. Nobody really loves the tune that's, you know, everybody's happy. We paid our taxes.
Who cares?
Yeah, who cares?
Tell me something
to show me that my life is equal to everybody else's,
yeah,
and I'm not just being put upon by some, you know, giant greater force.
That's it.
We finish up with, I kind of like this one. It's not downsize, it's come a little bit closer, you're my kind of man, until the bad guy shows up, and then he runs. Jay and the Americans, we're going to wrap it up with him. It was almost Binky Jones and the Americans. Why would you choose Binky Jones?
Goodness
knows he didn't. Jay and the Americans. My name is Joe Burns.
I'm Chad P.
We are done. Class is dismissed.